host of Late Nights and Reruns this week, Jimmy Kimmel, is working, fortunately. He talked about the ship in the Suez Canal, saying basically capitalism had a heart attack over the last week. The mega ship was loaded with IKEA furniture, which means thousands of men in their 20s now have an excuse for why they don't own a headboard. The boat's shipping company blamed a strong gust of wind. Kimmel said, they finished this canal in 1869. In 150 years, this is the first time they had wind? That's it. Wish I had a longer list for you. It is April Fool's Day, so a lot of knuckleheads will attempt things today that'll just backfire. I'll tell you a story about an April Fool's Day from the SiriusXM days after the break. But first, a lot of cartoon news. Variety had the story that Rick and Morty will be back June 20th. I can't wait. Adult Swim has declared the dates Rick and Morty Day. There's a new trailer out. That trailer promises more of what fans love. Weird alien creatures like a strange, horny ocean man and a little imp that's begging to be, I'm trying to keep this clean, you know, begging to be something, but not to completion. Hi, kids. Sci-fi parodies things like Blade, Voltron, and Hellraiser. Lots of binding time with the Smith-Sanchez clan. And the trailer suggests that Beth and Summer are going along on more of the adventures this season. Rick and Morty Day is June 20th. Circle it on your calendar. If you're not watching Solar Opposites on Hulu and, you know, you're missing Rick and Morty, you need a little, like, Rick and Morty-esque kind of stuff. Solar Opposites, the guy that voices Rick, is also one of the main voices on Solar Opposites, and it shares half of the creator DNA. Solar Opposites on Hulu gets the Johnny Mac thumb of approval, and you know I don't give that out, like, you know, for nothing. From the New York Times, and I'm not sure this is comedy, but it's making me smile, and it's animated related, so let me work it in. Two episodes of SpongeBob SquarePants have been removed from Nickelodeon. One because of sensitivity related to the pandemic, and another for not being kid-appropriate. Uh-oh. One episode titled Quarantined Crab, quarantine spelled K-W-A-R-O-N-T-I-N-E-D, features a health inspector who visits the fast food restaurant where the main character works and finds a case of the clam flu. A spokesperson for Nickelodeon said, the episode was never put on the schedule to be sensitive to the pandemic outbreak last year. You don't want to be making clam flu jokes. It's not funny. Another episode, Midlife Crustacean, was removed from the rotation in 2018 following a standards review in which they determined some story elements were not kid appropriate. You hear the 12-year-old in me starting to giggle. Let's see what happened. In that episode, another character, Mr. Krabs, the owner of the fast food place, you know, the one from the clam flu, is feeling old and asks SpongeBob and Patrick if he can join them on a wild night out. All right, so far so good. The trio breaks into a woman's house and takes her underwear. No, you shouldn't do that sort of thing. Don't break into anyone's house. Don't take anyone's underwear. And definitely do not combine those two things, kids. The Times has a whole article here saying news of the episode's removal came at a time when other streaming platforms and publishers have sought to give audience context for older films, TV shows, and books. Last week, a children's graphic novel by the creator of the popular Captain Underpants series was pulled from circulation by its publisher, which said that the book featured images and tropes, including Asian stereotypes that perpetuate passive racism. Earlier this month, WWE wrestling episodes moved to Peacock. Some racist moments were removed from old episodes. One episode from 1990 presented a showdown between Roddy Piper, a white wrestler, and Bad News Brown, a black wrestler. Mr. Piper appeared at the match with half his face painted black. Yeah, let's not do that either. Good decision there, Peacock. Let's get off that subject. Talk more cartoons from the AV Club. The CW is doing a gritty live-action Powerpuff Girls reboot. It is titled Powerpuff. The live-action actresses playing 20-something versions of Blossom, Bubbles, and Buttercup. I know you know what I'm talking about here. The network has now cast the trio's father and creator, Professor Utonium, and this is why I'm talking about it. Donald Faison, Turk from Scrubs. You know Donald Faison, the guy that doesn't stop talking on the Scrubs podcast. He has been cast as Professor Utonium, whose first name is apparently Drake. The story says he's quirky, debonair, and a pinch narcissistic. So basically, Donald Faison is finally getting to play Lando Calrissian. That's what that sounds like to me. I'll read it again. Quirky, debonair, and a pinch narcissistic. Lando Calrissian. Drake Utonium is also immensely proud of the three super children he created in his lab, where he combined sugar, spice, and everything nice with an accidental pinch of Chemical X, and is now trying to repair his relationship with them while going through a midlife crisis. Oh no. On CBS tonight, it is the debut of The United States of Al. The AV Club reviewed it. I'm going to read at length, and you will get a feel for what they think of it. Lizzie is waiting at the airport. It's here that Lizzie asks her brother, who spent years in Afghanistan, What language is spoken there? It's hard to believe she wouldn't already know that, considering Riley, the main character's time in Afghanistan, and Al's profession as a translator. We even learn her former fiancé served overseas. Could she at least have Googled this information? No, as the laugh track is here to remind viewers, not knowing that Pashto is one of the country's official languages, as opposed to Afghanistanish, which is funny. The very first joke of the series sets up precisely the kind of wisecracks that are to be expected, with an offhand remark comparing Burning Man to the war and fighting the Taliban, you know, tense fire, loud sounds. Al is propelled into the unfamiliar territories of expansive grocery stores and Riley's home, where he meets with Riley's laid-back father, Art, played by Dean Norris. Al has saved Riley's life many times, and now Riley's family's letting him stay with them and helping him to acclimate to a new world as he waits for the rest of his family's visa situation to get sorted out. The AV Club writes, United States of Al seems to be trying to flip the script on the white savior trope. Al makes it his mission to try and repair Riley's broken marriage, discipline Hazel, and encourage Riley and Lizzie to be more respectful of their father. They all end up learning from him as he begins to understand the American lifestyle. In doing so, the show often puts Al's Middle Eastern culture under the microscope, pointing to it as the primary source of his perspectives. However, his personality is presented only in broad strokes and cliches. There's hardly any backstory for him in the early episodes, except for a quick video call with his mother and a reference to how his sister is disappointing the family by choosing not to get married. The United States of Al. You're gonna watch? Yeah? No, you're not. You're not. Stop lying. You're not. I've got a one-sentence story for you. On Monday, comedian Amy Schumer was seen performing as part of the ongoing festival New York Pops Up in Queens, New York. She was in Astoria Park. The Daily Mail has pictures, but no details. I don't know how many people attended this thing. I don't know how you would have even known it existed. It's not like I don't Google comedy, comedian, or read like 15 websites putting the show together. But Amy Schumer, Astoria Park on a Monday. Yeah, that makes total sense. Veer Das tweeted about avocados. He said, I had my first avocado when I was 35 years old. Didn't know what one was before then. Didn't care. As always taught that when you hit your 30s, you stop caring what the world thinks. That is true. But he says, this isn't true. My adulthood was a lie. The world made me care about avocado. Now I have at least one avocado a week because I lack conviction, not even because I enjoy it, but because I was told that it matters. The taste is quite literally like eating matter. Green, tasteless particles that need to be topped up with eggs and toast and mostly approval from an otherwise cruel world. Now that I'm a frequent avocador, the assumption is that I'm privileged. I don't feel that way. Eating ice cream is a privilege. I just feel like someone who eats avocados. As I write this, I realize this note is entirely pointless, much like an avocado. Don't forget to vote for this week's comedy top dog. It is Dave Chappelle versus Richard Pryor. Jerry McLean commented, Dave, Gen Xers stick together. I like that sentiment. I have not voted yet myself. So let me look here. It looks like that's a vote for Dave. Got a Pryor, got some Chappelle action. This thing is a tie, folks. You guys need to vote at Daily Comedy News on Instagram. You find the little graphic with the picture of Dave Chappelle and a picture of Richard Pryor. And in the comments, please vote. You could be the tiebreaker. And please vote today because I have a soccer tournament all weekend. So I'm probably going to hand in episodes about like the Brady Bunch cartoons and stuff, which means I'm going to record Monday early. So we need to like solve this thing today. Do you hear me? Instagram at Daily Comedy News. Hook a podcaster up. Get some votes in, man. All right. You hear me? Cool. All right. My April Fool's story. So just to set you up, I used to program the comedy channels at SiriusXM, one of the comedy channels called Raw Dog. And also at SiriusXM, there is and was a channel called Sirius Hits 1, which was the top 40 station. So what we did, and here's my perspective on a good April Fool's joke. An April Fool's joke needs to be harmless. You don't want to make anybody like upset. You don't want to cause harm. It has to be so blatantly obvious that it's a joke once it's revealed that everybody goes, ah, that was pretty good. You got me. So what we did in the month of March is we started running promos announcing that come April 1st, the Raw Dog channel was going away. That's right. Once it's the 1st of April, and we kept saying April 1st and the 1st of April, we never said April Fool's Day, but we kept saying April 1, 1st of April. Coming on the 1st of April, Raw Dog will be no more. We're going to be replaced by Sirius Hits 2. So what Sirius Hits 2 was the same exact thing as Sirius Hits 1, except it's Sirius Hits 2. And we ran promos for weeks. So the audience they liked the Raw Dog channel, they got upset and started calling into the voicemail number that we used to use back in the days. And they would leave messages threatening to cancel Sirius. This is awful. The bosses are so stupid. So meanwhile, my on-air host would get on the air and talk about how stupid this decision is to get rid of Raw Dog to have Sirius Hits 2. The bosses don't know what they're doing. They're stupid. And we just riled up the entire audience and we kept saying come April 1st, Raw Dog was going away. So here comes April 1st, and here's what we did. On the noon show, we said goodbye to the audience, and we had Kid Kelly, who was the main host on the morning show on Sirius Hits 1, jump in our studio and start doing Sirius Hits 2 while taking calls. So he's on the air, he's doing his thing. We even had jingles made that said Sirius Hits 2 that sounded just like the ones for Sirius Hits 1. So I'm laughing at this because there's no reason to have Sirius Hits 2 with the exact same music, the exact same DJs, the exact same imaging, except it's Sirius Hits 2. This is why it's funny. So Kid comes in and he's jockeying and he's taking calls and people are calling up and, you know, they're ticked off. They can't believe we got rid of the Raw Dog channel. It was such a good channel. And why do we even have this channel? It's the exact same thing. A Sirius Hits 1 and people are upset and they're calling Kid Kelly on the air and they're yelling at him, and then we play like, you know, Madonna songs or whatever we played back in the day, and then finally we revealed, ha ha, April Fool, and we went back to being a comedy station. That's how you do an April Fool's joke. And that is your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you like what I do here and you'd like to support the show, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Click on one of the donation buttons and I will use your money to buy an iced coffee from the National Donuts chain. And I will see you tomorrow.